Welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee. Does cancer evolution spell trouble for intelligent design? S. Joshua Swamidas says, "You bet it does." He makes that argument in a blog post on BioLogos. Intelligent design proponent and Biologic Institute scientist Dr. Ann Gager says, "No, it doesn't." In our previous episode, Dr. Gager took on Swamidas's first two arguments. Today, we're giving her a chance to take on his third and fourth arguments against intelligent design. Welcome back, Anne.
Thanks.
All right. Swamidas's third argument. He says cancer routinely, quote, exhibits convergence at a molecular level, unquote. Before we get your response, summarize for us. What is convergence?
Convergence means getting the same solution at the same time, independently. So an example for human invention would be Edison and Tesla arriving at the idea of the light bulb at about the same time. There's dispute about who got it first, but you get the idea. Also, another example would be Leibniz and Newton. Both of them independently discovered the idea of calculus. So in terms of cancer, that means that different tumors, if you study them, you discover that they've evolved some of the same mutations in different tumors.
Okay, so now one more bit of table setting before answering his argument. Why supposedly does this cancer evolution convergence spell trouble for intelligent design?
I actually don't know. I think he might have the wrong idea about what ID proponents say. Maybe he thinks that we deny the power of mutation and selection, that we think it can't do anything, let alone do it repeatedly. But that's not true. We acknowledge that if you have just a few steps, a few mutations, and each step confers a benefit in terms of ability to grow, then that's what will happen. Of course, benefit for the cancer cell is not the same thing as benefit for the person with the cancer. In the case of cancer, some mutations are more powerful than others. I talked about that in the last podcast. There's some genes that if you break them, their protein products have a powerful effect on the cell. Now, because that's the case, and there are lots and lots of cancer cells in a particular tumor, billions perhaps, and they're all undergoing mutations, then if any cell stumbles on the right kind of mutation, one of those special potent mutations, we call them driver mutations, then that cell will multiply and grow on to produce faster growth or escape the tissue that it's in, metastasize. Those driver mutations are that way because they're key checkpoints in the cell cycle, key regulatory interactions, so that they have a particularly strong effect. It's not a surprise that cells in different tumors would arrive at the same mutations because those are the mutations that are strongest in their effects. These examples of convergence aren't a challenge to ID. It's simple population dynamics. The most potent ones, the drivers, cause increased cell proliferation. And even though they're a small subset of all possible mutations, their appearance is strongly selected for. That means that their effect on the cells is stronger than the effect on surrounding cells that don't have the mutation. And that's the kind of mutation that can produce cancerous malignancies.
So just to clarify, why isn't convergent evolution of cancer a challenge for intelligent design? It doesn't strike me as a challenge, but would you spell it out for our listeners?
The fact that you can get mutations happening repeatedly in particular genes that are of strong effect is not a surprise. If you have enough cells undergoing mutation, then some of them are going to hit the same target. They're going to break the same gene. And those genes have strong effect on the growth of the cell. So, of course, they outstrip their surrounding cells and take over the population. It's just population dynamics. It's not a problem for ID. Because that's not what we say is the problem for evolution.
Okay, but Swamidas has a fourth and final argument. He says that all the mathematical machinery of neutral theory works really well when applied to cancer cell evolution. Therefore, quote, what magically prevents all these things from being true at the species level? There's a lot to unpack here. First, and this may be a challenge to do quickly, but let's give it a shot. What does Swamidas mean by, quote, all the mathematical machinery of neutral theory, unquote?
Okay, what does neutral theory mean? It's a term that is not in common usage. Remember, I talked about mutations that have no effect. They may break something, but that's not critical to the cell, so it has no apparent effect on the cell's behavior. Well, those are the majority of mutations that take place. They're neutral in their effect. You can accumulate lots of neutral mutations, and then along comes one of those driver mutations, one of those potent mutations, and it takes over the population. But it carries along with it the neutral mutations that were present in its genome at the same time. Those neutral mutations are swept along with the driver mutation. That's what people mean by how neutral theory works.
Okay, so then Swamidas throws down the gauntlet. He says that the mathematical machinery of neutral theory maps really, really nicely onto what we're seeing in cancer evolution. So why won't the intelligent design folks just admit that it meshes nicely with species evolution? What gives? Okay, Anne, why do you remain skeptical?
I just don't see the parallel between cancer, which is an abnormal growth within an organism, and the evolution of new species. New species require new structures, new body shapes, new ways of living. And those require building. They require new, like I said, new structures. You don't get that from cancer. You get an overgrowth of malignant cells. No new organs, no new tissues, just death.
Can you unpack this a bit more?
Okay. Darwinian imperative is survival of the fittest, right? To multiply without limit. If you didn't have any competition, that's exactly what would happen in the natural world. It's unlikely that cancer, of course, would surrender that potential to grow unless it's made to. Cancer is proof of what happens when the Darwinian paradigm takes over. Things grow out of control. Yet, it's important to realize that most of the time, our cells do maintain a balanced behavior. They don't grow out of control, even though there are many, many ways to fail, many different mutations which can cause cancer. That we exist at all, that our cells cooperate, that they get along together, that they work together, is a marvel, and that balance is maintained nearly all the time. Only in rare cases does cancer arise. That's a wonder of design.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dr. Gager.
You're welcome.
This has been Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thank you for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.